Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Alua, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Ogute, Compound, Oje, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we ask that you please continue to support us and our sponsors. Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by my co-host, Dr. James Jones, on Wednesday nights. You can find him here on Sign of the Times, as well as on Facebook as James Jones and Manhood Raising Culture as a like and group page, and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraiseculture.com. Also, please support Unity Divine, headed up by our beloved brother, Arlie Gordon. You can find him on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at unitydivine.com, and Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. And last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the family and loved ones that they represent. So please support Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. We also want you to please support the Redistribute the Pain campaign, headed up by the Free Alabama Movement, but supported nationally and internationally by those who want to stand up and demand justice against this mass incarceration and over prosecution of brown and melanated people, especially around the world. So please go to the WordPress page, redistributethepain.wordpress.com to find out more information. You also can go to the freealabamamovement.com page and the Free Alabama Movement pages on Facebook and as a like and group page. So we're going to hang out a little bit, wait on my co-host, Brother Will, to join us. In the meantime, we're going to check out a little bit of Neely Fuller. We'll be right back.
A people activity. Oh, well, the first four, I paraphrase, the first four came off of my progenitors, you might say father, off of his tombstone. I think he had industry, the law, religion, and one other that I sometimes forget. But it was four of them. He had four categories there. And I know that industry was one. I changed the word industry to economics. But I do remember he had religion and law. Now, this was on his tombstone. If I ever can find his tombstone again, I mean, that's the only way that somebody tells me where it is, because the graveyard where he was buried, I think, has been finally gone to seed, you might say, and a lot of the tombstones have been misplaced and all like that. But I remember after he passed, this was on his tombstone, and he had also talked to me about it. He called it the Four Principles of Life. That's how he named it. But later on, I applied it under economics, religion, law, and then I put them in alphabetical order, and I came up with nine categories. Some people said I should have added health, but I say that if you are doing what you should do in those nine, you have health, because health means a whole number of things. There are a lot of things connected with your health. You have to have so-called economic health, educational health, legal health, political health, religious health. See, it all comes under health because you are healing. You know, that's what health, the base word for health is healing. So you're doing compensatory work. You're doing repair work. So that's how those nine areas were basically formed. I just put them in alphabetical order. I came up with nine. I was thinking about adding some more, but then I didn't want to just keep adding and adding and adding. I thought that the nine would work, and so far I think they do. They cover just about everything that everybody is doing, one or more of. They're operating in one or more of those areas of activity somewhere on the planet or in outer space or wherever they happen to be. That's why I call it the nine areas of people activity. Everybody's engaged in one or more of those areas, and all of these areas are interactive. What happens in the field of religion affects what happens in the field of law. What happens in the field of law affects what happens in the area of politics. What happens in the area of politics will affect what happens in the area of war. What happens in the area of war will affect what happens in the area of education, and on and on and on. All of the areas of activity, just like parts of a person's body, one interacts with the other. The heart is not separate from the kidneys. I mean, they're two different organs, but they have to work somewhat in concert with one another in order for the body to work. When you start getting one thing out of order, then other things start breaking down too. It's the same way with the nine areas of activity. The white supremacists understand this. This is why they will get control of one area of activity among a tribe of people, like their laws, or like their politics, or like their religion, or like their sexual activity. All they need is control of one area. Because once they get control of one area, they'll get control of the rest of the areas. It'll be easier because all of them are connected. That's the logic, and that's what the evidence has shown.
A political prisoner is one who, for the most part, is incarcerated because of his or her political beliefs and some type of action that is in opposition to the United States government. We define a prisoner of war as an individual who is a member of a nation or a citizen of a nation who is struggling for national liberation against U.S. imperialism, for example, Native Americans or Puerto Ricans or New African Independence Movement, and who engages the enemy in some armed military action. And for the most part, they are part of the military clandestine formation. And therefore, when they get captured, in most cases, they take the position that they're prisoners of war who are captured in a battle for national liberation.
This is American justice.
Right.
This is American democracy.
Right.
And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy.
Right.
Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail.
Right.
But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
Right.
Democracy is hypocrisy.
Right.
If democracy means freedom, why aren't our people free?
Right.
If democracy means justice, why don't we have justice?
Right.
If democracy means equality, why don't we have equality?
Black people should understand that the New African Independence Movement is not new. New Africa, the term New Africa is new, but the struggle for self-determination and the struggle for independence on these shores is a struggle as old as the slavery that
we'll be right back. getting used. Oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up.
Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahir. Sorry for the slight delay, but I was waiting on my co-host, Brother Will, to come through, and maybe he's gotten tied up. He is very, very busy, committed to the people and helping any and everyone as far as, you know, our struggle goes that he possibly can. So we're just going to hang out for a little bit and open up the mics and create some conversation. Just get a temperature of what's going on in the community, what's important to us, and let's find some unity because, you know, we hold true to our platform that we are turning the struggle into a strategy, one conversation at a time. So I'd like to welcome to the airwaves Sister Erica and Brother Akayas. Welcome. How are y'all doing this evening?
Salute, Queen Tahira. Salute. Always happy to tune in. Always happy to be here. You know, there's always a struggle. You know, the main thing that I think about a lot is the babies out here that are killing each other. Like, the violence in the streets about, you know, like we talk about the government, we talk about this, we talk about that. You know, and it's such a complex situation because how do you, you know, it's so hard. There's the people are scared. I mean, the parents are actually scared. These kids are running things. They're scared. How does this child running around here with this gun bigger than them? No one taught them how to use it. No one's paying attention to them. No one pulled them off, said no soldiers is around, and pulled the kid off, say, you know, you messing up, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to have guns, I believe that we should be have a right to have our guns and everything. But I believe it's very, you know, the kids don't have any type of for life, period. And they shouldn't have a gun if they don't know how to use it and how to be responsible with it and, you know, how to look at it and how to treat it and how to try not to use it, only use it if you have to. You know, stuff like that. Like, that's just a big, big issue that I'm seeing. And I don't think it's being talked about enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Happy to be here, Queen. Thank you for coming in, tuning in. You know, I'm always tuning in. Like, I live for these shows because of the things that we do talk about and how important the topics really are. So, thank you today, Queen.
Asha.
Well, nice to meet you, Sister Erica. I think this is a first introduction. Brother Caius, as Queen has said, and I surmise with what you're saying in reference to the kids getting access to weapons, the behavior of our children, and the state of parenting right now. All, of course, by design.
Mm-hmm.
Let's admit that. We're so much on a problem think, and we're very rarely on a problem solution. Solution think. You know, problem. We got problem think and solution think, and we're on a problem think. We know what the problems are, but we're not really interested in the solution. And the reason for that is because solutions forces us to give up the bad things that we like, and we're not really interested in that. At least some of us, and very few of us, when we realize that the solution. That we have to take on these solutions in order to liberate ourselves, we become the teachers and the light bearers and, you know, the people who guide humanity. Now, you made a very valuable point. I've had people, you know, call me and ask me about the same thing you're mentioning, and I'm going to use Chicago as a perfect example of why this is happening. Now, we all live in the black community. We know our people. We know what they have and what they don't have, and when someone gets something, they let everybody know that they have it. All right. Now, you're talking about a geographical location where there's low employment and lots of gang activity. If you want to start with, you know, how these guns get in, you know, we don't have any gun warehouses. We don't have any gun shops in Southside Chicago. Yet you have kids getting access to AR-15 and high-tech military weapons that are usually sold in the same parts of Africa. I'm suggesting to you that this definitely, in the case of Chicago, started with Rahm Emanuel. This guy came out of nowhere. We never knew who he was. When Obama got into office, he was chief of staff. Now, if I'm not mistaken, when you're the chief of staff, I think your relative was somewhere the fourth or maybe third most powerful man in the world at this point. And so the red flag is, why would you go from taking demoting yourself from being the chief of staff and becoming the mayor of a city that you weren't even born in? Of course, this guy has dual
mm-hmm.
citizenship from Israel.
Right.
And so this guy, you know, let's just get it out of the way. Racism from the very beginning was a Zionist operation. It is still a Zionist operation. And what they've successfully done is made black people rich and white people rich. And they get them to keep the poor whites in order, and the rich blacks keep the poor blacks in order. That's just racism, period. That's what it is. But this guy right here, I've studied this man. He's a former Mossad intelligence. That's a CIA version of Israel intelligence. I have had people told me that they have literally found military crates in some of the most isolated parts of Southside Chicago. And so what are we talking about? We know how Ray Ray and them be thinking. What's to stop them from walking down the street and seeing one of these crates and saying, oh, boy, we hit the jackpot. You're going to take that crate back to the crib. You're going to open it up. You're going to see all of these firearms. And, well, I'm telling you, that's how they got them. Why? So these boys can start killing each other, and we can create the classic problem, reaction, solution. Now, you remember approximately a month ago, the Masonic puppet commissioner of Chicago literally got on and called for the UN forces to come in. Well, this is part of the plan. They want the UN to come in. And it was very funny how they pick African soldiers to come in to walk the streets of Chicago. It's still on the table right now because it's a beta test. They're trying to see how you and I are going to react to that. But it is obvious that the number one reason has always been an organ harvesting. You know, these medical examiners, they get paid thousands of dollars to doctor up paperwork. Police departments are in on it too. From the police department to the medical examiner's office, all the way to politicians, they're all in on it. And that's really the main purpose for the guns in the community. They kill each other, they take the organs. You know, a whole black body, just melanin alone on the black market goes for $328 per gram. Let me say this again. Melanin goes for $328 per gram on the black market. And so they extract that melanin. They make pills. And these rich people, they buy these pills, and they live longer, and, you know, their fingernails grow a little better, so on and so forth. And then, of course, a lot of these people are half dying. You know, they have the gout and the rich person's disease, and they need these replacements. And, of course, good old-fashioned black organs get the job done. The film Get Out, you know, definitely highlighted, you know, how precious we really are in their eyes. So, again, when it comes to the whole the gun issues with black boys in the community, that's the foundation reason for it. And then we also have to take into account that when you make reference to Bloods and Crips and MS-13 and all these so-called high-profile gang organizations, at the top of these organizations, you have high-ranking 33rd-degree Masons who are orchestrating these gangs and you know, giving them orders. But they're behind the scenes. They're very quiet. You know, they're business people, and they'll take the higher-ups of these organizations, and they'll get the best of the best, and then, you know, they'll guide the kids to, you know, maintain the chaos in the neighborhoods so that, you know, the prison system can do what they're doing. So let's just accept that this isn't coincidence. This is by design. And that it's happening because we're allowing it. And I think that's the number one problem. Again, we're in this problem thing, but we're not holding ourselves accountable. And I think that's the only reason why we're not going to be able to solve any problems, because we're not even holding ourselves accountable to allowing them to happen in the first place.
Erica, I don't know if you want to speak, but if you are, you're going to have to come off because it's echoing.
Yeah,
okay.
I noticed.
Okay. I don't know if it's the speaker or the computer, but I can mute it, you know, while I'm not talking or whatever.
Okay, it's only
okay, yeah, I was done on that, on elaborating on that.
Ashe. So, Brother Akaius, I know it's been a while since you've been on the air, on Sign of the Times, but I've been watching the post evolve and the awareness level, even of other people, is increasing. People are waking up to not only on a spiritual level, but waking up to how badly we've been duped by this so-called government and the actual, even the composition of the United States itself. People are becoming more and more aware of. So where are we? Where are we, and where are we headed, say, over the next 5 years, do you think, as a society?
Well, the biggest problem for the powers that don't be, I don't empower them. I always say the powers that don't be. They are aware that the Earth is positioned in what we refer to as the photon belt. Again, I'm not saying anything that the ancestors didn't say or warned us about. As a matter of fact, all of the science that you're seeing now they call it quantum physics. That was the science that we had. So let's get to that part. And again, they're just aware that the Earth is getting closer to the photon belt, the dark rift. And what's happening is that as we move through this dark rift, it is firing up the DNA. It's unlocking that which doctors refer to as junk DNA. And as the codes and codons unlock, we develop a higher awareness of ourselves. You know, I've had a father, a random man had a conversation with me about being telepathic with his daughter. Look at these children that are coming in who are highly intelligent at age 3. They're quick to box, and you know, they have words of wisdom for us. These are old souls who are incarnating in bodies, and they're seeking teachers of wisdom to guide them so that balance can come upon the planet. Of course, you remember in the 90s, in the 80s, they started with the special ed programs. You know, why did they create the special ed programs? Because the kids were coming in highly intuitive. They were coming in hyperactive, full of energy, full of love. And so they needed to destabilize that by destroying the learning curve. And to this very day, you got a lot of people who believe that they're failures because they couldn't keep up with academics, when in reality, they were just highly intuitive, highly spiritual individuals, and they didn't get that information. So the governments around the world are very much aware of that. But what they're particularly afraid of is us, because we have the most highly concentrated DNA on this planet, and therefore we're able to respond to these cosmic waves of energy faster than any of the races. We are the spiritual leaders of this galaxy, and we always have been. And they're afraid that when we start waking up, our abilities are going to come into play, and we're going to start doing what we did thousands of years ago, and that is making this a global community, but in the direction of unity with love and compassion and empathy being in the lead, because that's where we were when we were one world less than 13,000 years ago. You know, we were one planet, and we obeyed all of the rules. And so right now, as the Christians would say, the devil is busy. All these agencies that they develop, all of these institutions that they develop, Hollywood, the music industry, the political establishments, industry, you know, they're pushing harder now to keep us in the bubble, to keep us more tranquilized, to keep us more distracted so that we're unaware of this cosmic awakening. Because should we wake up on a cosmic level, then this house of cards will be coming down. So the best thing that we can do as individuals is to fall into this love vibration. It's very important because, you know, again, the technology that they're developing, it's sucking our energy. Our cell phones are sucking our energy. Our television sets are sucking in our energy. The food that we're eating is disabling our ability to create energy. And that's really what it's about. They need to keep us docile, they need to keep us zombified, and they need to keep us stupefied. And what's sad is that the children are the biggest target. Being super intelligent, this is why they're super dangerous these days, because they're coming into a low vibrational frequency of fear, and they're exhibiting that fear in different levels because we haven't given them the spiritual guidance that they came here to get in the first place. You're talking about where we're going? I don't know. What I can say is that we are at a point where one person wants to try to get up to save the whole world. It ain't going to happen because some people have chosen to maintain themselves in this vibration for the purposes of experiences. We do live in a free will universe. And it is not my job or your job to interfere with a person's spiritual destiny unless they ask us for our advice about it. And so, you know, when they speak of the return of Maitreya or the return of Muhammad or the great deities who are nothing more than reflection of man's capacity to be greater than what he is, that's what it's about. So when you hear things like, oh, well, Jesus returning, no, you're already here. You know, like you're the Christ. You're exhibiting Christ's energy through your show. Sister Erica, whatever she knows and she's awakened about, that's her Christ energy. And so right here, right now, we're in 2018. This is the numerology. This represents 11, which is associated with power. And so the forces, the bad guys, are going to use that power to influence as much as negativity as possible. Us as individuals, what is tomorrow going to be like? Well, we have to use these energies to empower ourselves as individuals. And basically, you know, for those who are caught in the religion, they're waiting for someone to come save them. This is the opportunity for you and I to save ourselves. And so when we save ourselves, you know, we become the light. And wherever there is light, life follows. And that's really where we pretty much are going to end up. That's my prediction.
Ashe, I feel to Sister Erica. Sister Erica, what do you think about what you heard? And what are your insights and vision for our future?
A lot of great points. You know, I agree definitely the most with the, you know, spirituality piece, like healing and getting to know yourself. Because when you start to know who you are and, like, you know, where you came from, and it, again, empowers you. So it begins to heal you. Then you, when you love yourself, then you're able to put that love out into the universe to, you know, let it, you know, circle the universe. So that's, like, the biggest piece, you know. And when you say, like, the guns and how they got here, definitely, I definitely feel that. But I believe that we should have guns. You know, I'm not mad about them being here the way they try to trick us. So now I feel like we know this. We're here right now. And that's where a lot of these, because I'm, like, on ground level. And I am around these, I'm around these babies that are just killing each other. And they just smoking cigarettes, walk around like it just was nothing. Like, they have no feelings. They have no regard for human life, you know. And this is the result of the design, as you were saying, you know. All these years of oppression, slavery, beatings, lynchings, hangings, you know, cops killing, you know, and this is where we're at with the kids, you know, they're suffering, and no one is doing enough about it. Like, I feel like that's, you know, what the kids have to start with. They got to know who they are, start loving themselves so they can put more love out there, start to heal, you know. Holding people accountable definitely has to be, and it has to be amongst your peers, because you don't want to throw to the wolves. Why feed, you know, to the same system? That's like killing, you know, your brother. It's helping them. So why do we want to see them? Jail's there to rehabilitate, but I've been there. That's not what it does, you know. So it's all a part of this bigger system. But we got to get, like, in the ground and figure out, how are we going to help these babies do this? Because, you know, my friend just lost her son. You know, who did it is a baby himself. You know, and he's going through stuff. Like, he's losing family members. So he feels like this is what he's, you know, destined to do. You know what I mean? Like, not enough people paying attention. You know, if the kids want to carry guns, my son likes guns. He likes playing army and stuff like that. Okay. Learn how to use it responsibly. You know, take more time for the kids. That's what I say. Like, there's not a child in the world that's going to walk past me with a gun on their way to go shoot somebody, you know? Like, I have to be a grown-up. That's still a baby. Yeah, they got that gun, and it's dangerous, but, you know, that's just how I see it, because of where I'm, my standpoint, of where I'm standing, and how it's just around me so much, you know. And I see, like, the parents are, like, scared to deal with these kids, because the kids is, you know, they're disrespecting their own parents and, you know, running the house and be happy when the kids leave. You know, we have generational gaps. They flooded us with guns and drugs. And that's what happened to the generations. A lot of people, you know, got addicted to drugs. So we got kids out here that are still suffering from all these years of all this, you know, injustice, all this evilness, all this oppression, all this design against the certain people. So it has to be like a liberation thing. But I know, you know, we can talk about, you know, the system, the government. We could talk about you know, how to make this better. Let's go vote. But at the same time, we're losing these babies too often. So I feel like, you know, it takes some groundwork to get in there and help these babies heal, help them understand the value of life, help them understand, you know, I understand you can't tell them put the guns down. You can't because of the way they live every day, the struggle that they're in. So you have to tell them, you know, life is valuable. And you don't want to take someone's life unless it's protecting yours. You have to understand what you're carrying around. You have to understand how to use it. You understand when to put it down. You know, when to be a man. It comes with a lot. It don't just start with, you know, I don't think we just start with bringing the kids off the street and just sit them down in a class and say, all right, learn how to use this gun. No, first they got to know who they are. First they got to love themselves. First they got to understand, you know, what is going on with the system, with the design. So they understand that it's not cool to kill your brother. And if you're going to use this gun, make it be for protection and to make sure you survive out here until we can get all the rest of the system. And like brother was saying, not one person can do it by themselves. Everybody got to come together in a collective manner and respect each other's positions and just take that enemy down because it is the source of everything. And until that is done, it's just going to continue, you know. And with that,
Ashe. Yeah, the way I see it is solution-based. We had talked about a love campaign here on Signs of the Times quite some time ago. And to me, it's the perfect time, especially because of the things that we're seeing in society. We know that the ball got dropped, and there's plenty of, I guess, blame to go around to everybody, and including, are the parents of a lot of these children. Howsoever, with a love campaign to make love a revolutionary act, the challenge that I see right now, and it's a challenge that can be addressed. It's just a matter of, you know, exactly how we're going to do it. So to me, you know, in finding the balance, you know, because we're always working towards, even when it's something negative or perceived to be negative that happens in the community, we have to look for where we can find the balance in that. And so, you know, like I said, to me, the challenge right now is to find that love balance so that our children are surrounded by it to the point where it becomes as contagious as this negativity that we see. And I yield with that.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. We could sit here and we could talk about everything that's happening. Why am I here speaking to you, assess what we're talking about? And we've all had our experiences, and we can call out what's wrong. We can point fingers. We can assess the problem. We can analyze, and we could do that all day. But until I got in the bathroom one day and looked in the mirror, and rather than complain about those problems, I just looked, and this was personal to me, and said, nigga, it's you. This is your fault that is happening. You know, just like, you know, people get into a conversation with me about Christ, and I tell them, if you're looking for Christ, you only need to look in the mirror. You know, because that's who's allowing it to happen. You know, I'm allowing the kids to shoot themselves. I'm allowing depopulation. I'm allowing Agenda 21. You know, I'm allowing it. And so if I am in disagreement with these atrocities that are happening to my people, then I have to use my passion to fight this thing. And we are a very, very, very passionate people. We are the most passionate race on earth, and our passion has been misdirected. You know, there is no black music. It's Jewish music. There are no black movies. There are Jewish movies. You know what I mean? And so we don't have our own passion to express. And that's because naturally we live in an oppressive society. But if anyone asks me how can we make things better as a race, as individuals, we have to fall in love with our passions. I told a girl the other day, I said, you know, if you love making pies, make the best damn pies that you can make. make them real good. Make them GMO-free. You know, make sure there's some nutrients in those pies. Make sure after people eat your pies, they can get up and go do something. Make sure there's something in them pies that can fight some cancer, fight off some diseases, and give those pies away to your favorite people. And I promise you, if you do them, make those pies with love and with the intention of integrity and making people healthy, you're going to get a whole lot of people wanting your pies. And so that's really the key, to how we get this thing done, because the more we operate on this frequency of love and honesty and integrity and we make it a full-time job, we begin to illuminate that the cosmic mother, that which men have called God and many other names, will reinforce us and empower us and shine us brighter so we can be seen by those who are in darkness. And the reason why nothing has changed is because most of us, we're in this darkness. And see, the beauty about being black or melanated, I actually don't like to use the word black because when you remove the B, you got the word lack. And so, you know, with words being spells, we're programming, again, our own destruction. But as a melanated family, the greatest gift that we have out of all the humans on this planet is the capacity to absorb energy greater than any other race. And so this is the reason, like the sister said earlier, that we've been attacked by drugs and all these other things. Well, we have the power to absorb. We are super sponges. And whatever energy we absorb and vibrate with the most, we manifest the most. You know, when I look at hip-hop is an inverted perversion of our consciousness. And so if we shifted hip-hop into a frequency of empathy, we can also affect the world as much as we're doing it now. You know, it's really sad, but, you know, hip-hop actually is the frequency right now that more black boys identify with. You know, we don't have father figures, and so we got these rappers, and they become our preachers, they become our pastors, our teachers, our fathers, and in some cases, our parents. And this is the reason why, you know, black men are in this state of mind. It's a cycling effect. So again, we can complain all day about what's wrong, but when you and I make it our business every day to just fall in love with what we're passionate about, what we do is we inspire others to fall in love with the passion. And like the sister said earlier, it becomes contagious, and now we move in another direction. This is where we came from. These are the principles and ideas that the civilizations of antiquity of the past were built on. It was built on it, like for instance, I love the way Dr. Clark said that, you know, when he studied, you know, Giza Plateau, that he bear witness to the outpouring of a people. We built these, well, we got assistance in developing these structures. You know, for instance, why was it that the pyramids were built? Well, for one reason, free energy. We had zero point energy back then. It was strictly about harnessing the cosmic energy onto the planet so that we can ignite the bliss codes in our DNA so that we can become passionate. And so when you have a society where the rulers were on the thrones to sacrifice themselves for the benefit of the people, and then you had the people who had the free will to exhibit their passions based on honesty, integrity, and morals, and all those wonderful things, compassion and empathy, you had a great civilization. And that's where we come from. That's all we know. And that's why we're not doing so well here. And so we have to get back into what we are passionate about. And when I say we, I'm not talking about like so much as collectively, like me and you. When we hang up the phone, you know, Queen, you come up with the most passionate titles and content for your radio show as possible, and you work even harder at it. Sister Eric, I don't know what your main thing is, but whatever it is, we go back to the drawing board, and we get even more passionate about whatever it is that fires you up, because that's what they're afraid of, because they don't have that. You know, and this is where the term Nephilim comes from. Nephilim is actually in reference to no phi in them, P-H-I, or no fire. And black people, on a genetic level, we're ordained what is called not only bliss-coded DNA or angelic DNA, but we also have what is known as in Lemuria, an island continent that existed in the Pacific. It sunk about 9,000, about 11,000 years ago. We had what was called the Fire of the Mother Goddess, which was in reference to our DNA. Our DNA was coded in the same frequency as the Cosmic Mother and the Earth. And so that's what we have the power to do. We can fire it up, not knowing who we are on a biological, alchemical, spiritual, and soul level. You know, we've gotten caught up in this thing. In conclusion, now that we know what we are, what we're capable of doing, and what we have to do, the final stage in healing, as the sister said, is accountability. You know, the blame game, we have to exempt ourselves from the blame game completely. Like, it's them. It's the Illuminati's. It's the Masons. It's the music people. No, it is us. And we haven't held anyone accountable. Okay? And so when we hold ourselves accountable, it actually gets easier. You know, just like when we admit that we are wrong about whatever it is we did, life does get easier. And so we're in mass hypnosis. We're on our own trances. We got our own demons and flaws to contend with as individuals that only we can deal with. And that's really what it's about, me and you. We got to get our own demons out of our system. We got to, you know, love ourselves a little more, so that we could shine a little more. And so when people see the light inside of us, they're going to see the light inside themselves, and it's going to be a domino effect, and we all will win. And I'm not just talking about melanated folks. We can all win as I don't like to say human beings, that means slave hand, but, you know, as the star beings that we are destined to be, because that's the mission. You know, the mission is to have an experience on this planet through these avatars and bodies, and leave this place and return back to the cosmos from whence we came. And that's the mission. But first, we have to do something great, and it's reference to the great work. You know, and the great work is much needed, because the bad guys, they're getting up every day to perform their great work, but we're not. And so, again, the key is passion. We must fall in love with what we're passionate about. Stop thinking about where we're going to get the money and where we're going to get the people and how we're going to do it. Just have the passion, and the universe will assist us in acquiring more of that passion so we can affect change.
Hey, Brother Caius, when can you come back and we do a broadcast with you?
I decided, you know, off air to discuss that with you, and I'm suggesting a title, Black History, Truth About God, Serpent, and the Bible. And, of course, the purpose of the talk would be to finally bring our people back to the fact that we have a lot of missing information that we haven't received, and the objective is to merge our to accept the history that we rejected. As you know, in the past, we've had conversations about progenitors and beings playing a role in the genetic engineering of our race and our people. There's a lot of history behind that. So I think this is, you know, with Black History Month coming up, the objective would be to give everyone a beautiful outline of a very well put together version of our history in the way that we are ready now. We are ready to understand. We are ready. We are ready to get information more than ever right now. And I think that's what the show would be about, taking advantage of that.
Ashe. Sister Erica, do you have anything that you would like to contribute before we close out for the evening?
Oh, yeah. I just you know, wanted to say, like, I really enjoyed listening to Brother, I forget. I'm so sorry. I'm so bad with names. You know, I love the topic about the history. Okay, sorry, Brother Science, and nice to meet you too. Like, the topic of, you know, that's where it starts, you know, people understanding, you know, what happened, where you came from, what happened during this whole, you know, transition from the motherland to get where we're at right now. You have to understand the root to it. So I think that would be like a great topic. I'm definitely going to tune in for that. I love when, you know, he said about accountable, and it makes you better. Because, like, if my peers do it, I don't have to deal with the system because my peers are pulling me up. Think twice before you do something because you're like, oh, they're going to be on me if I do this. So definitely is a win-win-win situation. And the last thing I want to just touch on is what he said is the responsibility that we have to take. You know, and I do feel responsible for the stuff that goes on around me. If I'm around the situation and I can put in any type of energy that can diffuse it, calm it down, stall it out, make somebody think, you know, I feel like it is my duty to do that because it's just, you know, and that's why, you know, I feel like parents need to take responsibility. The community needs to take responsibility. Everybody's so quick to talk about the little boy once he's dead and gone and how you was so cool with him and he was up here just laughing the other day. But you knew that they was getting ready to beef and there was getting ready to beef, and no one spoke up about it, did nothing like that. So, you know, responsibility, being held accountable, ties in together. So we start holding each other, our peers, responsible and accountable before it gets to a level of they have to be involved with the system or a program or a halfway house or something like that. Because, you know, that only makes a person more resistant. Because of the system, like everybody has one agreement about the system. It ain't cool. But nobody really knows the roots of it and the beginning of really what it is they're doing, the distraction piece, you know, the whole thing. So I definitely think, you know, and me, like my mission, we hang up, that I have a organization I'm trying to put together. So when I brought it to the business meeting, and told them, you know, what I wanted to do with my organization. I want to, you know, have a prisoner program. I want to, you know, do this, do that. And they was like, well, you know, first thing you got to do is you got to get people to think about these things. These are things that we need, but no one thinks about yet. So before they said, you're going to fail until you get enough people to wake up to what is really going on. Because like the brother said, we want to learn. There's missing information. People want that information. It's the missing piece to the puzzle. It ties in all this cosmic energy that is coming where we're at. No better time than to do it, you know, to bring more people to an elevation of, you know, being able to switch the passion. Because, you know, like you said, melanated people are the most passionate, most spiritual, loving, you know, people out there, you know, so when you get to that understanding and feel that empowerment, you can switch your passion up and use it for the energy, you know, use that energy for the better, you know, of everybody to win and for just to be harmony and just to be, you know, what you put out comes back and putting more love into the universe so we can have like a better all around universe. And this is like everywhere. So I love the way, you know, this conversation sounds, and, you know, I'm just happy to, get like a different outlook on it. And definitely looking forward to having the show because I'm going to tune in to get some more of that knowledge. And that's all, Queen. I salute you. Love the show. Love being here. Love having these conversations. You know, I really, really respect it. And just, I always got to shout you out and give that to you. Queen, thank you.
I say, thank you both for being a part of tonight's conversation. I appreciate your energy and the consistent love. And the persistent love that we share amongst each other as brothers and sisters. And we are exemplifying exactly what our young people need to see. So I appreciate you all's commitment to be here tonight and be a part of this brief but very essential conversation. So until tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is Queen Tahir here. I'm signing off for the night. Y'all got to wrap up this Bars Beyond Bars publication. It's almost finished, so we'll be going to the press here soon. I am a little bit behind schedule, but it's because I wear so many hats, not because I've been negligent in any sort of way. So, again, if you want to support the Bars Beyond Bars project, please go to Facebook and search Bars Beyond Bars with a Z, and you will find our pages and the posts that people have made, the contributions have made that have been made, and Sister Erica has contributed, as well as the Chainstorm Poets and several other people. So we're looking forward to having this publication be a really nice one. But it's just the beginning. So we're working out the kinks as we go, y'all. So until tomorrow night, in the meantime, between time, this is Queen Tahira signing off for the night. We love you. We thank you. And most of all, we'll see you all tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you need me, give me a call. Area code 513-913-2691. 513-913-2691. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Heard about the party now, just east of Harlem. Dougie gonna be there, but you got to call him. Even the soldiers need a break sometimes. Listen to the groove, y'all. Let it unwind your mind. No intoxication, let you see what I see. Dancing hot and sweaty, right in front of me. Call it what you like. I'm a woman high beat. This is just another one of God's pieces. Musicology. Got to keep the party moving. Like I told you. Keep the old school joint. For the true funk soldier. Musicology.
Coast to coast, hips and lips, chips and wits.